headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, our fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back here one more time from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're taking a little different look at Penn State 2020 recruiting class. 20 commitments so far. We've discussed the most recent commitments. We've also put into perspective 12 commitments from June 21st until now. That hot streak, one of the busiest time frames in terms of commitments under James Franklin. I think they had what was the other comparable stretch? There was a run of like 12 commitments in 13 days.
Yeah,
or something
so
like that.
I mean, but it kind of doesn't count because it was right when they got here in 2014.
Okay, yeah.
And they literally had no choice.
They had spots,
but there was like
film,
the calendar. Right. That was it, the calendar made them do that. It wasn't like this where kids are maybe getting a little bit worried about losing their spot or something along those lines. It was a situation where you know, Penn State only had so many days to get the class done, and because of that, I think you know, I think that they were, you know, it, you can point to that as an example, but it's not really the same because that was a rush to signing day because they had no choice, where this is more organic. And, you know, you've written about it. We've talked about it. I think this is going to become a sign of the times where the recruiting calendar has changed. Previously, you'd get some summer commitments, but if kids didn't, you know, it was either in June, right, you know, during the camp season where kids were on campus. It was, you know, maybe that week, the first week of July at the opening. And then it was right before camp started when kids said, I don't want to have to deal with a recruitment throughout the course of my final high school season, so I want to commit now and get it over with. However, you know, there's not really a good way to check how many guys have committed since the start of June, but it's been a lot nationally, obviously a lot at Penn State, and they're not alone in that regard. So I think that plays a little bit of a role in what, you know, what we're going to see from them moving forward. I just think that this time of year is going to become as busy or busier than, you know, the time frame, you know, December, the first signing period will always be, you know, you always get a lot of commitments in, but a lot of your work's already done by that time, it seems. You'll probably get some commits in the run to the second signing day, obviously, with guys that maybe you're a little further down on your board, guys you wanted to wait to decide, whatever. And then I think this stretch here, this June, late, you know, mid-June to early July is going to become predominantly when a lot of commitments happen, because again, the official spring and summer official visits give kids chances to get on campus and do stuff they haven't been able to do in the past, and they're obviously responding to that by making their decisions sooner.
So this run marked by guys that maybe are a little bit more on the developmental side, or guys that Penn State really likes more than the National Recruiting Services do. So what we're doing here is looking at the class. 15 out of 20 of them are three-star prospects according to the 24/7 composite. So we're going to look at, you know, some of those 15 guys and who we think is not being valued properly, who we think not only could get a star ratings bump potentially, which, I mean, that's all fine and good when it comes to public perception, but it's not going to change the coaching staff's perception. Who are the hidden gems so far in this Penn State class? Penn State, as I mentioned, you know, the idea that they're buying low on some of these guys with physical tools that they believe they can develop. So I'll start the bidding, and you and I had an interesting conversation about Nick Dawkins before from the Allentown area. He's a three-star. He's a guard, which plays a part of it. You have a belief that being in Allentown might kind of – and playing guard in Allentown, is a combination for not getting a ton of national love.
Right.
So Nick Dawkins, you know, he's 6'4", 300 pounds now. He is athletic and pretty light on his feet for that frame. A lot to work with, and he's the son of you know, somebody who used to play in the NBA. Chocolate Thunder used to play in the NBA. So – there's a lot of good reasons, I think, to believe that Nick Dawkins might just be scratching the surface, but he might not ever really get his due on the national recruiting front.
Right. And, you know, I think that part of that is just simply because, again, like you just mentioned, where he plays, it's not like evaluators are flocking to, you know, that area to watch high school football. And it's not that they play bad competition, but you know, it's probably, he's probably a guy like Keaton Ellis who he has his rating, and that's kind of that at this point. You know, he's not going to see any significant bump. He's not going to see any significant drop. He just kind of is where he's slotted in, and that's kind of that. So I think he's a very good pick here. You know, another guy I think that Penn State fans will forget about a little bit because, you know, again, once some of these kids commit, that's kind of the end in terms of their evaluation and everything else. But, you know, I'm really excited to watch Fatorma Malba's, you know, senior season and just check out what he's able to do for Susquehanna Township. Obviously, you know, at 6'3", 270, he's a young guy with plenty of room for growth and for also for learning the game because he's only been playing for 2 years. He moved over from Africa, I believe it was 5 years ago. So he's a guy that the ceiling is through, you know, it's enormous. It's high as it gets for high school kids because he can only go up from here. He's just starting to scratch the surface of that potential. And he doesn't even have a national rating yet. You know, that's right. Pretty rare for Penn State to get a kid that doesn't have a national rating yet. But, you know, I don't know if a lot of people were paying attention to him. But when we watched him up at Penn State camp, you know, just walking alongside Brent Pry at one point, I mean, it was ridiculous to see how he looked compared to some of the pictures of him in the past and how he looked even at this time last year. So, you know, he's 16 years old going into his senior year. He's a young guy who's going to continue to grow. And I think that, you know, he's going to end up being a pretty big steal for Penn State when all is said and done.
Here's an interesting fact. You wrote this that Jordan Hill, who had a lot of success at Penn State as a two-star prospect from Steele High, is working with Fatorma Malba. And I guess you could say maybe I'm mentoring him in some respects. And sees a lot of potential, and that would be an interesting comparison as far as what he's able to do. Is if he goes the Jordan Hill route and it proves to be an unpolished gem, like Penn State should be thrilled about that,
right?
And that's so the 6'3", 270 is no, it's not really an ordinary six. It's an athletic, broad-shouldered 6'3", 270 where right. you can see 6'3", 300 and not being, you know, just a pile of person. Like he's a big strong athlete, and the Penn State offer, the Penn State commitment, will have this microscope on him for his senior season that he wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and we'll right. have a chance to maybe turn some heads that way. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're on quarter number four talking about Penn State's 2020 recruiting class, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Parker Washington is another one, a three-star in the 247 composite. I think Rivals has him as a four-star, but he's a three-star in the composite. We discussed his merits as a player, but there's also, you know, if you're 5'10", 195, and you don't run a 4.4 or in the 4.4s in the 40, or you don't blow people away with your quickness or what have you, there are certain things, certain pathways to national attention to take. Parker Washington doesn't have those pathways available to him. He's not a burner, but he is very good after the catch. He's very quick. He's solid as a slot receiver. He's not the slightly built, you know, Jahan Dotson, KJ Hamler types. He just knows what he's doing. He can grind things out. He's not the fastest guy in the world in terms of long speed.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that in his film. He ran a 4.57 at the opening last week. So he got plenty of speed, but the whole recipe, Greg, I guess is my point. The whole recipe just doesn't ever lend itself to a four-star rating.
Right. No, you're right. And the tough part about some of these guys Penn State's getting is that we've talked about this before. Some of them are in between positions. So what do you make that guy? And might sound silly, but if you decide to make a guy a defensive end instead of a defensive tackle, well, you might have, let's say you have 30 four-star defensive tackles, so you might only have 15 defensive ends who are four stars. That's a pretty competitive, you know, group to be rated that high to get that, you know, that spot, that four star. So sometimes that's the grain of salt, I guess you have, the grain, you know, of recruiting rankings, is sometimes they don't work out the way that, you know, the way that you think they should, or the position can hurt a guy. So, yeah, there's a lot to figure out there. But with Parker Washington, I do think that if anyone this class is going to receive a bump from the opening, it's going to be him. I mean, I just think he was terrific. Again, I've said it a couple times now, but his highlights that come out of that were just fantastic. And I mean, number 76 receiver right now in the 247 Sports Composite. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for him to jump into the top 50 receivers after what he did down there. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, I think that this is probably a good segment to mention the two Lackawanna commits in Norval Black, the receiver, and Jair Brown, the safety from Lackawanna. You don't always know what you're getting with junior college transfers, but I think that with these two guys, you should feel pretty good about the fact that, you know, they were productive last season. And Penn State's coaching staff, again, sometimes you just have to trust them in terms of their evaluation. These guys didn't necessarily have a bunch of Power 5 offers when they committed to Penn State. But, you know, I think we've seen enough times now that when Penn State likes somebody after they get them on campus and they make a move, that move generally tends to work out. Or I guess maybe put a different way, they don't tend to miss on those guys at a higher rate than they do any other prospects. You know, if you sign 20 guys, there's a chance, I would say at least 7 or 8 probably aren't going to ever play significant reps for you. And with the Lackawanna junior college connection, you know, Paris Palmer was a multi-year starter. Anthony Wiggin and Jaquan Brisker have a chance to do that. And, you know, Norval Black and Jair Brown will be in that conversation next year as well. So, you know, I think that you don't want to build your class year over year around junior college guys, but to take a couple every now and again, I think it's probably a pretty good idea.
And how many JUCO guys at the time that they were offered and committed were really on the national radar at all? So I think maybe part of that is just the idea of recruiting junior college guys and the lack of investment when it comes to recruiting services to really get down to the bottom of players that they never really heard of before. They heard of them now, and those guys too will be playing with a little dose of attention on them. And as you mentioned, we don't know where the Lackawanna pipeline's going to go. We don't know whether it's going to be a really good thing or not. We have limited information, but clearly it's an initiative from Penn State and a belief in what Lackawanna is doing. And they've put out some very good players in the past, guys who have ended up going onto the NFL and that kind of thing. So it might not be the worst thing in the world. A couple other guys, just to mention them quickly. I'm a big fan of Micah Bowens. I think he's another guy who's just stuck on a 3-star, just like Trace McSorley was stuck on a 3-star. Just physically, you know, he doesn't really turn your head with the arm strength or with his frame or that kind of thing, but he does everything very well. One thing that stood out to me was his ability to throw, not just on the run, but a dead sprint and throw it accurately. If he's able to do that at the next level, that's going to lend itself to some success. Joseph Johnson, a 3-star in the 247 composite, we talked about how much I did anyway, like him. And Amin Vanover, we both are a big fan of his and can't imagine he ends the cycle as a 3-star.
No, I mean, I think it's crazy that he is right now. And it won't surprise me to see him get a bump sooner rather than later, for sure.
So I think a number of these guys will pay attention. Late summer, we'll expect to see some rankings changes, and then obviously going into the end of the 2020 cycle. So that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.